will, thy will be done. Looked at his friends, said, sleep on. The hour has come. I wish I had somebody. He went to be tried. He was beaten to all the blood. He was beaten to a bloody pulp. He was taken up a hill called Golgotha, carrying an old rugged cross. Say yes. Say yeah. But when he got up the hill, he laid down. He said, no man take my life. I lay it down. Anybody here going through your trials will lay it down. I'm laying my trials down. I'm laying my life down for the Lord. Say yeah. Say yeah. When I look at Jesus, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. What I gotta show you is that when he was lifted up in shame, but he despised the shame. And sometimes when we're on the cross, when we're suffering, we feel so ashamed. When we go through trials, I feel so ashamed. I got my head hanging down. But you need to lift up your head unto the hills. Whence cometh your help? For your help come from the Lord. Anybody here say, I'm lifting my head. Somebody say yeah. The joy of trials is that when Jesus lifted up his head, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then he said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. But before he left, there were some people suffering right along with him. And he said, this day he took time out his business.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT.
No worry.
Got the gospel. Transmitting
all, right.
All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all
right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It becomes personal.
Over the building, if you can, get on your feet. Get on your feet. Hallelujah.
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 Bless you, Lord Jesus. So worthy is the Lamb of God. Come on, just let him in your space. Let him in your space. Make it personal. Make it personal. He's worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor. It's not about how you feel, but rather an act of your will. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Glory. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Oh, bless him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory. Oh, bless you, Jesus. You're so worthy, so worthy, so worthy, so worthy. Oh, bless you, Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for just being God. Such an awesome God. Wonderful and worthy of all our praise and adoration. Glory be to your name. Now, Lord, as we prepare our hearts, our minds, our spirits to hear from you, let the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry meet us in the text and minister to us that you might receive the glory and we the good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Ah, such a wonderful spirit of praise. Hallelujah. Well, get your Bibles. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalm number 65. Psalms number 65. And we want to commence reading at verse 1. Recorded are these words. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in the courts, in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. May the Lord add a blessing of his and to his holy word. You may be seated. Praise waiteth for thee. Praise waiteth for thee. And when we look at this text, my brothers and sisters, as we do a quick overview, and before we get into the actual verses that I'm going to deal with today, first of all, verse 1 through 4 deals with, and it's in these 13 verses, it's broken up into three divisions. The first division, verses 1 through 4, deals with approaching God. Approaching God. Verses 1 through 4 in the first division. In the second division of this psalm, verses 5 through 8 deal with apprehending God. Apprehending God. That's verses 5 through 8. But then verses 9 through 13 deals with, and that's the third division of this psalm, it deals with appreciating God. Appreciating God. And when you look at it, it really talks about the blessings and the bounty of God, and especially deals with the harvest and how they were so grateful for God's plenteous provisions unto them. And even in the midst of them knowing that they didn't deserve God's blessings, and how So oftentimes God blesses us even when we know we don't deserve it. They are literally overwhelmed at the goodness of the Lord. And I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you know that you just shouldn't have got what you got at that point in time, because you know you felt most unworthy of the magnanimous blessings the Lord poured upon your life. And when you start this off and you look at it and you see it and you run through from verse 1 through 13 and get the fullness of the effect of these folk, you can understand why verse 1 deals with a silent people. A silent people. Verse 2 is going to deal with a seeking people, and verse 3 is going to deal with a sinful people, and verse 4 is going to deal with a satisfied people. But let's go back to verse 1 to a silent people. And let me show you why they were silent. First of all, the word says, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. The vow be performed. The vow was a promised deed. They promised God they would do something, and it was just as good as a deed done, because their word was their vow, and their word again spoke about what would be done, classifying a deed. And so they knew that they could not help but do what they had vowed. First, God does what he says, and they do what they say they're going to do for God. And so, yet in the midst of this song that is being sung, it is an interrupted silence that takes over the place. Because have you ever been in a place where you were trying to say it, but the words got in the way and you couldn't say nothing? You were so filled to overflowing that you couldn't say a word. This is the position of the silent people. They wanted to break forth in praise, but they were too full to say a word. It was not silent as in didn't want to praise him, because you got some folk who don't want to praise him in spite of how good he's been to them. But these were people who were so filled with the awesomeness of God, the splendor of his glory. Also, I think I need to tell you, also in these three divisions, it deals with some things again that are helpful for us understanding. The first four verses deal with his grace. Verses 5 through 8 deals with his government. And then verses 9 through 13 deals with his goodness. They are dealing with his grace in verse 1 through 4 here. And if you've ever experienced the grace of God in such an abundant way, sometime, my brothers and sisters, I understand now experientially what the old folks say: if I couldn't say a word. I mean, you just can't. It seemed like hallelujah just ain't enough to express your goodness and grace, gratefulness for what God has done and given to your life. And so this is the position of the people. They are silent. They're waiting to let it come out, but it's just too much. So look at what they say. Praise waited for thee. When I can just calm down and get myself together. I want you to know we're going to have a praise party, but I'm just too full right now. And I've noticed, my brothers and sisters, sometimes in that place of gratitude and truly, truly grateful for what God's done, sometimes you really can't shout, and you really can't run, and you really can't clap. So sometimes you're so filled, the tears just run down your face, and you can't do nothing but just lift your hands to the glory of God. Such was the situation with these people when they say, praise waited for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Unto thee the promised deed shall be performed. Now look at what he says in verse 2, because verse 1 dealt with the silent people. Now there are seeking people. Look at verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. A seeking people. My brothers and sisters, I think it's helpful for you to understand that in times of diversity, difficulty, disappointment, disillusionment, in times of petitions, in times of requests, in times of your longings, you need to be clear that there is no one but the Lord who can truly answer and bring to pass your petition. Sometimes we waste a whole lot of time going to a whole lot of folk who really can't do what the Lord can do. And when we get through going through and becoming disappointed and humiliated and frustrated and vexated behind going to all of these folk and knowing that they can but they won't, you wind up wasting time, because if you had spent that time before the Lord, he could have touched their hearts and talked to them before you ever got there. And when you got there, God would have said, now the answer is already waiting on you. We need to make sure, my brothers and sisters, that we learn how to go to God, to seek God for ourselves. Jeremiah said, yeah, I've learned to talk to the man so much so that sometime while I yet call him. While I'm saying, Lord, I need this. Lord, if you don't mind, do this. Lord, and when I'm talking to him, he's already. You see, that's somebody who's in constant communication with God and don't just call him up when they need him. I mean, you ought to call him when you need him, but you ought to get so close to him that you ought to call him just because you wanted to talk to him, just wanted to tell him thank you, just wanted to remind him of how awesome he is in your life and how awesome he is as God. I mean, sometimes you ought to just want to talk to him because you can't help yourself. You just call to tell him you love him. You just call to tell him he was on your mind. You just wanted to call him because it was all that your spirit and soul desired to do. And sometimes your soul wants to fellowship with him that you want to get away from family and get away from friends and get away from folk and just get by yourself and just have a little talk with him. I mean, some of the sweetest conversations in seeking God comes when you ain't asking him for nothing. When you're just rejoicing in his goodness. Oh, I love to talk to him like that when I'm just enjoying the blessings of the Lord. And even when things, listen, is this, even when things are not as you would have them to be, if you think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you, you begin to realize when the old folks say you can have this whole world, just give me Jesus. Because Jesus, can I tell you, he's the source of all this stuff. And the problem with too many of us is we've gotten caught up on the stuff and we've forgotten the source. And if the stuff could make you happy, you wouldn't need the source. But you can have the stuff and still your spirit longs for the source. That's why folk got stuff and ain't got no joy. They got the stuff and they ought to be happy with the stuff. People tell you, man, you got all this, you ought to be happy. Stuff don't make you happy. Not eternally, maybe temporarily, because stuff is connected with happenings. And every time you get stuff, it depends on how it happens that you get the stuff, whether or not you can get a little bit of happiness. Oh, but when you got joy, that's deeper than stuff. Joy is connected with Jesus. And anytime I got joy, it means Jesus is close by. And if my joy gets a little rough, all I got to do is get closer to Jesus. And I ain't got to have no stuff and still talk about what a mighty God we serve. Jesus, he puts a peace that passeth all understanding. So you got to understand, brothers and sisters, who it is you need to seek. Sit down for a minute. Because I need to tell you again that seeking is a participatory act in receiving the person of whom you see. In other words, God shows up a lot quicker when you seek him. I mean, when I say show up, and I need to qualify that, because he's everywhere at all times, but he's not in everything. And so when I say show up, I mean consciously make you aware of his presence, being able to sense his presence and knowing he's there. I mean, even though he's everywhere, you can't always sense him. And so that's when you seek him, that he makes you conscious of his presence And it feels like he just stepped in the picture. Oh, Lord, I've been looking for you. Oh, there you are. You sense his presence. And there in that place, the psalmist says, is fullness in his presence. Fullness of joy. Now, I can't say enough about the fullness of joy, because what you are really looking for is found in his presence. And his presence brings us joy, because joy is connected with his presence. There is never a time that you cannot experience joy, even in the midst of your sorrow, your situations, all of the midst. If the Lord shows up, joy is connected with him. And even listen, even if he has to show up and correct you, discipline you, there is a joy in knowing that he's doing it for your better good, because he loves you. And so listen at the word again. It says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now, I think I need to tell you also, brothers and sisters, that this is prophetic, and it's talking about more of a futuristic tense. Though it bespeaks the reality of the seekers desiring God and his presence and the answer to prayer, the holistic view is that in the fullness of time, men are going to learn that the only one who can hear and answer prayer is you. You, God. There are some folk who think they don't need to talk to him now. Don't really need to seek him now. But the end result is going to bear out the fact that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord of all, to the glory of God. Now let's look at verse 3, because now, not only in verse 1 do we see a silent people, and in verse 2 a seeking people, but in verse 3 a sinful people. Iniquities, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. That's iniquities. It says, iniquities prevail against me. Sinful men who do foolish things. Things that are sinful in nature. He says they prevail. It seems like they are winning against me. And have you ever been in that place, my brothers and sisters, when you turn your heart and your focus on the Lord, it seems like hell releases its demon force against you? Paul put it this way: every time I attempt to do good, evil is always present. It's always, no matter how hard you try to do right, wrong just seems to tap you on the shoulder. Say, I'm here. Wrong just seems to pop up. Wrong just seems to come against you. Enemies are all around. It just seems like no matter how much you try to live right, the enemy is right there to try and cut down your good works, try and destroy you. I mean, listen at this. He says again, iniquities prevail against me. Now, if iniquities are not prevailing against you, it might be because you have become overcome by the enemy. Devil don't have to fight what he's already got. He's fighting against what he doesn't have. And what you got to remember is, in the flesh you belong to the devil. And the Lord redeemed you, brought you back from him. And he's mad about it. He was all right when he had you. But it was when he lost you that he couldn't handle it. And so as a result, he has had a campaign against you to get you back or destroy you. Either way it goes, it's all right with him. But he doesn't understand that those who are in the hand of the Lord, the record is, Jesus said the devil cannot pluck them out. So I'm here to tell you, listen, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the powers of hell, the authorities of hell shall not prevail. It shall not win against it. And so there is an illusion that the devil is winning. Somebody ought to encourage their neighbor and tell the neighbor the devil is not winning. Come on, tell your other neighbor the devil is not winning. I know it might feel like it. It might look like it. You might be experiencing some stuff while you're down. But thanks be to God, it's not going to end with you on the bottom. It's going to end with the devil underneath your feet, because it is not going to prevail against you. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Listen, listen again. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Listen at this. Now the psalmist says, and I want you to see this, lest we, you know, take this holy stand like we ain't had no part in the problem. See, because some of the reason why the hellhounds was on my trail, it was because I was around the hellhounds' house. Y'all gonna get that when you wake up. And some of you won't admit that you were in the wrong place. It ain't because you've been all good. Sometime you said some stuff you shouldn't have said, done some stuff you shouldn't have done, been where you shouldn't have been. And sometimes the hellhounds was just protecting that territory. You can act like you're holier than thou if you're rolling. But I know that it ain't been because you've been all you ought to be. Some of the stuff you're going through is because of. Oh, help me, help me, help me, help me. I caused some of my own calamities. I manufactured some of my own miseries. I produced some of my own problems. And all I'm asking the Lord is help me one more time. Some of that hell you married to, you married it. You can get mad if you want to. Some of the stuff you going through, you chose it. Oh, yeah. I'm just trying to tell somebody that it ain't always been because you've been good. Some of that stuff is true. That's why the devil is bothering you. Oh, tell somebody and say, keep it real, keep it real. Now, the person that can't say keep it real, they know it's hurting them right now.
That's all right, that's all right.
I ain't trying to hurt you, I'm trying to help you. Hallelujah to me.
Now, sit on down. Let me finish trying preaching this. Let me try.
Oh, glory.
Look at it again. Look at it again.
As for our transgressions, our part, our sins, our shortcomings, you got to, listen, if God's going to straighten you out, you got to tell him you crooked. How you going to straighten out what's already straight? If you messed up, you need to say, God, I'm messed up. You got to acknowledge I made the mistake. I did the wrong thing. I said the wrong thing. I've got the problem. Look at the text. As for our transgressions, plural.
It ain't just been one time.
But thanks be to God, it doesn't stop there. Look at what he says. He says, thou, you God, shout with assurance and certainty.